Good morning, everybody. Man, it is fantastic to see you today. My name's Paul. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is my joy to welcome you to Crossroads. I want to tell you, we have a special service planned just for you. But before we jump into the service too far, if I could ask you to open your program, and inside you'll find a communication card. If you could take this out and then start filling this out, that would really bless us. We like to know that you were here, and we like to know how we could pray for you. So if you could take care of that, that would be awesome. Secondly, I want to make two key announcements that are happening right now today. Immediately after the service, first of all, parents, if you have kids up to fifth grade, I need you today. We're having our tacos and training meeting. We're trying to build our children's ministry and make it strong. And parents, we're asking you to do your part. We're asking you to show up, get some training, and then once every, 6 to 8 weeks, show up in the classroom and be a part of your children's spiritual growth. That's part of our call to pass the baton of faith to the next generation. But this training is not just for parents. If you feel like you're good with children, that you could teach or lead, or you have a heart to love the younger generation and to bless them, we invite you to join us immediately after this service for our tacos and training right here in this auditorium. We'll provide lunch. There's childcare. The meeting will be less than 1 hour, but I hope that you'll be part of that. Secondly, if you're new to Crossroads and if you've been coming and you're going, hey, we really like the services, but what do we do next? Like, how do we get connected to this church family? Well, we're doing a newcomers reception today. We're going to have a light lunch right after the service. We're going to share a little bit of the vision and some of the next steps to become part of this church family. So we invite you to join us today right across the parking lot over by the church office. There's a little building there, and we'll have some food and we'll hang out. And that will be kind of a short meeting to just introduce you to more of the life of the church. I hope you'll be a part of that. And now to today. We are continuing in our series called The Gospel According to Disney. Now, how many of you remember what the word gospel means? What does it mean? Good news. The word gospel, the good news according to Disney. And I want to tell you in the service, I have two pieces of good news for you. The first piece of good news is just like last week, you have a chance to win some candy right now in the service that you can eat during the sermon. We're going to play a little game called Disney or Not Disney. And so what we're going to do, is there anyone here who likes Butterfingers? Okay, so Jenny, come on up. You're number one. You're going to be playing for a Butterfinger. Anybody here, this is my wife's favorite, any Reese's people here? Okay, you're in, girl. Come on up here. Jenny, come stand right here. Right over here. Okay, you're right here. Turn around. You're right here. Okay, now I think this is one of God's greatest creations, the Twixt. All right, Brian, come on up. Brian, you're next. Now, I hope the person who's playing for this loses, because whoever doesn't win, I get their candy bar. So, my favorite candy bar, the Milky Way. Okay, do we have any Milky Way people? All right, young lady, come on up here. You're playing for a Milky Way. And then someone once told me that this is the best candy bar ever made in all of history. Snickers. Do we have any Snickers? Okay. Come on up. Now, you guys line up over here. You're after Sonia. You're after Brian. Come on up. Now, here's how we play Disney or not Disney. I'm going to show you the picture of a movie. And when you see that movie, you have to tell me, did Disney make it or did someone? Like if I said Pirates of the Caribbean, is that Disney or not Disney?
Disney.
Everybody go, Disney made that movie, okay? So, and unfortunately, those of you later in line, each one gets increasingly harder. Just letting you know. So Jenny, come on over here. You're playing for a Butterfinger. Let's have our first movie. Take a look. It is the movie Rio.
Disney.
Now, you need to tell me, is that Disney or not Disney?
Not Disney.
Okay. Hey, no, who are you looking up?
I didn't.
Hey, this is not phone a friend deal. So, okay. So, are you saying Disney or not Disney? Final answer.
Not Disney.
And the answer is? Not Disney. Okay, who made it? If Fox and Blue Sky, you win your... All right, now for Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Sophie. Okay, so our next movie is, this is a tough one. How many of you remember Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Now, you need to tell me, is that Disney or not Disney?
You had to pick the one I haven't watched yet.
All right. So, well, you got a 50-50. You want to phone a friend? How many think Disney? How many think not Disney? Okay. What are you thinking?
I'm going to say with the graphics, it's not Disney.
Okay. Her answer is not Disney. And the answer is? It's Disney. Oh, Sophia, I'm so sorry, but these are mine. Get out of here. Okay. All right, Brian. Doing good, Brian? The next movie is Madagascar. Now, is this Disney or not Disney? Okay. He's going with not Disney. Is he right? Let's take a look. Madagascar is not Disney, made by DreamWorks.
That's all right.
Get out of here, buddy. I wanted those. Okay. You are now playing for my favorite candy bar, Kathy. This one's kind of tough. Our next movie, An American Tale. What's more American than Disney and Feifel? And is it Disney or not Disney?
I'm going to have to say Disney.
Okay. How many of you think Disney, American Tale? How many of you say not Disney? Okay, so they're no help. So you're going to have to go with, is it Disney or not Disney?
Disney.
She's saying Disney, and the answer is?
No.
Let's see who made it. Universal. Okay. I'm doing pretty good here. Okay. Now, Gabby, no pressure here. But come on, we're looking for someone. This is for Snickers right here. I think this is the hardest one. Anastasia. Is it Disney or not Disney? Do you want to phone a friend? What do you guys say? How many of you say Disney? Well, how many of you say not Disney? Okay. All right, what are you thinking? Anastasia is... Dun 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 dun. Okay, she's going with final answer.
Disney.
She's saying Disney, and the answer
it's
is?
It's your fault.
Not Disney! Hey, Gabby. Now, we wouldn't bring you up here and humiliate you. I'm going to give you this Snicker, but you have to deliver these
to the other.
So, guys, where are you? So make sure they get their candy bar. So, hey, so maybe you didn't win candy this week, but maybe next week you want to come back. You see how we set that up? Okay, second piece of good news. So the second piece of good news is this morning you are in for an incredible blessing because our very own Pastor Francis Tuck is going to give a great message on the movie Tangled. Now, I wanted to give the message, but my hair's not long enough. And I kind of thought it was a message about hair and conditioner. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. But Pastor Francis is going to give a great message. And can I tell you, not only is her message great, but what I love about Francis is she practices what she preaches. Her life behind the message. She's a woman of great faith and trust in Jesus. And you're going to see how contagious that is as she shares our message on Tangled this week. So I want to pray for our time together and then we'll welcome Francis. So let's pray. Father, we're in this series called The Gospel According to Disney. And the truth is we all need good news. We all need encouragement. And so Father, I ask you, would you meet us here? Would you lift our spirits? Would you give us just what we need today so that we can continue on in our faith walk with you? Would you lift us up? Would you remind us that you are there and that you care about us? And we look forward to how you want to speak to us through your word. We open our hearts to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you, everybody. Let's welcome Francis.
Wow. So after Paul's introduction and the fireworks, I'm like, I better step it up this morning.
Whew, how are you guys doing? Yeah, I'm doing awesome because it's air conditioned in here. Here's a life pro tip for you guys who are playing. Have you ever seen a little girl in an Anastasia dress? No, it's not Disney. The other thing, is there a ride at Disneyland called Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin? It's Disney. So there's just a couple ways that, you know, if you want to win candy, and I don't think we're going to play that game, but next time. So you guys will know. I am a Disney fan. Like everyone knows, like I talk about going to Disneyland. My husband and I usually go at least a couple times a year. We buy passports for our firstborn child. That's low, low cost of your firstborn child is how you get into Disneyland. But it'll take a second. I'll wait. but we love to go. But see, I have a real confession, is that I am not a huge fan of Disney movies. In fact, most people are surprised. Every service, they're like, really? I mean, I love the music, and I'll listen to it in my car, and I'll sing along. I mean, I'm totally singing along to the Aladdin song that's playing in that bumper video every time. But I am not a huge fan of the movies. Because to me, you know, when, like, my husband loves watching movies. In fact, we own all the Disney movies. He's watched every special feature on them. But for me, I'm like, it's like 90 minutes. That's too much of a commitment for me. I mean, what if I get into it and I'm just like, oh, I've already seen this. I'm not into it. And then, of course, he doesn't say anything, because right after I say I'm not going to watch something for 90 minutes, I spend the next 3 hours watching The Office and Parks and Recreation. But that's neither here nor there. He's smart enough not to mention that to me. But Disney movies, so when people, my friend Danielle was in love with this movie Tangled, and she told me, you have to see it. And I was like, no. I mean, I don't have time for this. Like, no, I'm not going to go. And my friend Danielle is amazing, and she is a very, very close friend of mine. People often confuse us for sisters, which is good for me because she is gorgeous. But they confuse us for sisters, but we do not have the same taste in movies. I mean, she likes what I like to call films. And I'm just not smart enough to like the movies that she likes. So I tend to not listen to her when she says, you have to see this, because, you know, I'll let you like those over there, and I'll like what I like over here. But she told me, Tangled, you have to see it. And she told me that they have popcorn at the movie theater, and I was in. So I went to eat popcorn, and I fell in love with this movie. But see, I have this sinking suspicion that I bet you guys have, there's only about 50% of the people in here who've seen Tangled. So if you have not seen Tangled, raise your hand. If you haven't seen it. Yeah, see, look around. It's, you know, a little bit less than 50% today, but only about half the people in all the services have seen this movie. And I want to say it is well worth it. I cannot guarantee popcorn if you watch it at home, but it does have just this beautiful animation, great music, and it's a wonderful story. I mean, you guys know the story of Rapunzel, right? What's significant about Rapunzel? Her hair. And what's significant about her hair? It's long. And her hair comes in handy because she lives in a tower. Yeah, see, this is exactly the basis for the story that we see in the movie Tangled. Rapunzel has been kidnapped by this woman named Gothel because she knew that Rapunzel's hair had special healing powers. In fact, Rapunzel, just a little tidbit if you're ever on Jeopardy, the first Disney princess that had supernatural powers was Rapunzel. Her hair, if you knew the special song to sing, would heal you. It could heal, you know, anything. It could make you young forever. It could heal you if you were sick or injured. So she had this special hair, and Gothel knew that. So she kidnapped her from her parents, who were a king and a queen, and locked her away in this tower so that nobody could take her power from her. And nobody could use it except for Gothel. So Rapunzel spent 18 years locked up in this tower. And our story really begins right before her 18th birthday. And I want to show you where the story begins with this clip. So Rapunzel's in this tower for 18 years, just working and reading and playing. And every year on her birthday, she would see these lights in the sky. And every year she'd sneak out of bed and she'd look at these lights and she just felt drawn to them. She just felt like they were meant for her. So every year she would do that. And our story begins with her saying, well, this year, like, I want to go to where those lights are. I want to know what they are. And so what she's wondering in this song is what I know I personally have wondered. And I know that a lot of us in this room have wondered. And that is, like Rapunzel, sometimes we wonder, when will my life begin? And I have to say that just this message means a lot to me personally, because a couple months ago, I feel like my hope kind of bottomed out. My husband and I were driving on our night where we go out on a date every week, and we're driving through this little neighborhood, and I was looking at the houses as we drove by, and I thought, I am never going to buy a house. I'm never going to have that security. And even if I bought a house today by some miracle, I'd be how old when I paid it off? And so it was just like one of those things where I all of a sudden felt like, man, when will that life begin for me? And so I've spent the past couple of months just really praying and talking to God about it. And he's been talking a lot to me. So you guys are really here today to listen to me talk to myself with what God has taught me. So forgive my insanity as I talk to myself, but really, I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. And I know that as I look around this room that there are several people that are wondering, when does my life begin? I mean, you're how old, and I'm how much older, and you're wondering when your life is going to begin, but I'm wondering, you know, well, when do I get to buy a house, or when do I get to really make an impact? Because I've known a lot of people in my life, and I've never met someone who didn't want their life to make an impact. And a lot of times we look at our lives and think, well, I had all this potential, but it just kind of is sitting unused, untapped. Or I look at what other people have accomplished, and you know, there's a really famous guy who shares the exact same birthday as me, this Thursday, by the way. And he has the exact same birthday, but he's written books, he's won Emmys, he's a famous actor, and I'm like, wait, he's 35 too. And look what how much he's done, and I haven't done that. Maybe you have the same experience when you look at siblings or friends or people around you, and you think, I'm not measuring up. Or maybe it's that you look at your time and think, well, another year has passed, another decade has passed, and what do I have to show for it? Now, I want to do something a little bit scary right now, because it's just like an eye-opening thing, and I've been thinking about this a lot for myself with that. When does my life begin? The good and the bad news, if you're taking notes, is that your life already has begun. The good and the bad news is that your life is happening right now. Right this very day, the fact that you're sitting in this room breathing and looking at me and trying not to nod off means that your life has already begun. I want to do something a little bit scary-er even. I want on that side of your outline, you have a little bit of room in the margin. I want you to take the number 79 and subtract the age that you are today. For me, I've turned 35 this week, so I'll round up. 79 minus 35, math wizards, is 44. 79 is my life expectancy because I live in the United States. 79 is what we will get to live if we are lucky. So when I look at my number, I have 44 years left of my life if I'm lucky. And you know what? Life is speeding up the older I get. It doesn't go slower. And maybe you're looking at that thinking, I wish my number was 44. You know, I passed that number up, 79, so now I'm just like, whoa, when does my life begin? I'm a little panicked here. But I want to say that the hope that God has been teaching me and that I have for you today is that if you're wondering, when does my life begin, today can be the day that your life can begin. Today can be the day that your life can take a dramatically different turn. And it may not look the way that you expect. It may not look the way that you want it to, but you will begin to truly live, just like Rapunzel in her story. So the good news is that today is the day. Today is the day when your life can begin. And the answer to that question, when does my life begin, is that our life, the life that we dream of, the life that we want that's fulfilling and that matters and has an impact, that life truly begins when we step out in faith. Now, you might be wondering, well, what does it look like to step out in faith? That's one of those things people say in church, and it just, you know, it sounds great, but what does it mean? Well, it's going to mean something different for all of us, but I want to start by looking at what it looked like for Rapunzel. So would you guys watch this clip with me? Understatement, right? Just a little at war with herself. Well, she, you know, she steps out of the tower, like literally, that's what her step of faith is that she literally has to leave the tower in order to reach the lanterns that she feels so drawn to. But it's not easy. I mean, it reminds me of a story of this man who fell off a cliff, and he fell off and he managed to grab a branch that he's clinging tightly to because he doesn't want to fall naturally, right? And so he yells up, "Is there anybody up there?" And he hears a booming voice that says, "I am the Lord. I am here. Do you believe me? Do you trust me?" And the man's relieved, but he's desperate. So he says, "Absolutely. Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe. I can't hang on much longer." And so the Lord says, "That's okay. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I'm going to save you, but just let go of the branch that you're holding on to." So he thinks about it for a minute. And then he yells, "Is there anybody else up there?" Because the truth is that stepping out in faith is hard. That's your bonus for your outline. Faith is hard. Stepping out in faith is not an easy thing. In fact, the Bible is full of stories of people who stepped out in faith, who trusted what God told them, even if it didn't make any logical sense, even if it didn't look like what other people thought it should look like. And I want to talk today, we're going to look at three things that you learn from the story of Rapunzel about what we can expect when we step out in faith. And these are the things that you see in the Bible and the story of Joshua that we're going to be looking at. And these are the things that I've personally seen as God has been teaching me about hope and faith and what it looks like to step out in faith. So I just want to pray before we get into that. Would you guys pray with me? God, I look to you right now because ultimately our faith comes from you. And I just pray for each of us in this room who are wondering, when does my life begin? I pray, God, that you'd give us faith, that you'd call us out on the waters, just like the song that we sang, that you would show us what our next steps are. And God, just give us the faith to follow you no matter what it means. Give us the encouragement if we need it. Give us hope when we need it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, we're going to look at one particular story of a man named Joshua. And Joshua was a leader in Israel that he had taken Israel into the land that God had promised them. But the story started way before that because God saw his people in Egypt. They were in slavery and they were crying out, "God, help us." And so he actually brought them out of Egypt and he said, "I'm going to bring you into a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The promised land," as people say. And so he brought them to the point where they were on the edge, like they could go in, and they got scared. They were terrified. In fact, that's the first thing that you can expect, just like what you see with Rapunzel, is that when we step out in faith, the first thing you can expect is fear. It's terrifying to step out in faith. And so Israel was at the edge of where God was said, "I'm going to give you this land. It's yours. You just have to take it." And they were terrified. In fact, only two people thought, "You know what? We can do this. God's telling us we need to do this. We can do it." And so everybody over the age of 20 was not allowed into the land that God had promised them. And that's why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Because for 40 years, all those people who didn't, all the people who didn't want to go in because they were afraid were dying out. So when finally that whole generation had passed away, the two people that believed that God was going to take them into the land and all this whole generation after them, Joshua was one of those people and he was their new leader. And if you look on your outline, this is what God says to Joshua just as they're about to go into the land. Be strong and courageous for the Lord, for you are the one who will lead the people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So when you hear that, if you had to guess what, like if you had to sum it up in just a few words, what would God's message to Joshua be? It's really easy. He says it like three times. That's right. Be strong and courageous. I know sometimes you're like, I'm not a Bible scholar. It's okay. A lot of times, like the message God wants you to get, he'll say over and over and over again. And what he says over and over and over again is be strong and courageous. He said it three times. In fact, he said, don't do the opposite. Do not be afraid or discouraged. In case you're not getting it, be strong and courageous. And he's telling this to someone who's already strong and courageous, who already had courage. But see, this tells us that he had to be terrified. That the temptation to be so scared that he wouldn't do what God was calling him to do was there. And see, fear has that effect. It paralyzes us. And that's exactly what happened to Rapunzel, because as you saw in the clip, there was nothing keeping her in that tower, right? The thing that was actually keeping her in the tower was her fear. Because the woman who kidnapped her told her how scary and awful the world was. She said, "It's a scary world out there. Mother knows best. One way or another, something will go wrong, I swear. Ruffians, thugs, poison ivy, quicksand, cannibals and snakes, the plague. Also large bugs, men with pointy teeth. Stop no more. You'll just upset me." Do you know how hard it is not to sing that? But you should thank me that I didn't. But yeah, there's all these things that she is told, like, you have to watch out for the plague. You know, people actually still get the plague. There's like 6 or 7 cases a year. But those 6 or 7 cases are worth being afraid of. But she is terrified because she is told the world is too scary. The world is too much for you. If you go out into the world, something will go wrong. So she's paralyzed. And what God is trying to tell Joshua is, do not get paralyzed by fear. I am going to take you where you've never been. And it is very natural to be scared when you are stepping into an area where you have never been, when you are going somewhere where it's not you, it's not under your control. And that's exactly why God is saying to him, be strong and courageous. Now, why would you, I mean, fear is a natural thing. So what's the deal? What's the next thing that you can expect? And fear, you can expect it because what you will face when you step out in faith are challenges. That's the second thing that you can face. In fact, Rapunzel, when she stepped out of the tower, she actually came across ruffians and thugs. She actually almost drowned. Sorry, spoiler alert. But magic hair comes in handy when you are almost drowning. In fact, this is just a thought that I had. Like, why would you be afraid if you had magic hair that could heal you? But again, it's a movie. You're not supposed to think logically about it. So she had magic hair that saved her. She had what she needed when she stepped out of that tower. But that's exactly what she faced, were all these challenges, and she was able to overcome them. But the fear was real because the challenges were real. And that's exactly what happened in the story of Joshua. So God said, you know, I'm going to give you this land, but before you get in there, you have to do something. And he told them that he wanted all the priests to carry the ark into the land. But see, they had to cross this little thing called the Jordan River. And at that point, the Jordan River was overflowing. It was at flood stage. So this wasn't just like a little creek that they had to jump, you know, hop over a few rocks and stuff and get their feet wet. This was something that could sweep them away and drown them. This is something that was very dangerous. But God said, until you put your feet in the river, I will not show you what it is that I have to show you. But you've got to just march right in there in faith. And I always think of this scene as, has anyone ever been on the studio backlot tour at Universal Studios where you ride the little tram, see King Kong, go through the earthquake? Well, one of the things that they show you is a flash flood. You guys remember this if you've seen it, where there's a little town and all of a sudden just, you know, thousands of gallons of water come rushing at your little tram and it looks like it's going to overtake you, and then movie magic, boom, it goes underneath you. But you don't know that that's what's going to happen. And this is exactly what I picture when I picture the Jordan River, that it's so rushing and wild at this point that they have to walk right into it even though it looks dangerous. And I have printed on your outline what happened. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. So as soon as their feet touched the water, as soon as they took that step of faith, trusting that even if this challenge could kill them, that God was going to save them, that's exactly what happened. In fact, I think of it as the opposite of that flash flood, where the water is actually like being swept away from them. And so all of a sudden they're walking on dry ground, and Israel is allowed to pass through the Jordan River into the land that God promised them. But they had to step out in faith. They had to put their feet in the water. And that's the way that it often works, is that it's not the timing that we want. We don't want faith to be hard. We want it to make sense, like God's going to show us exactly how our finances are going to come in order if we take this step of faith. Or we want him to show it. He wants us to, or we want him to show us exactly what he's going to do when we take a step of faith so that it makes sense to us. And we can say, yes, God, you are good. I'm going to do that. But the problem is, it doesn't happen that way. A lot of times it requires us to believe what he says. The very nature of faith is that we believe what isn't seen. And when we walk into that, we will see things that we've never seen before. In fact, I printed some verses on there that I hope are encouraging to you, because on the back of your outline, because a lot of times this is where people get tripped up. They think, you know what, I've prayed, I know that, I feel like from what I've read in the Bible, from what I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me, from what people who love me are telling me, I know this is the direction you're calling me in, but it's hard. And I don't think it was supposed to be hard. But I want to look at a couple verses about that. The first one, Peter says, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you were at the very thick of what Christ experienced. See, Jesus went through this too. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. I want you to underline that, with glory just around the corner. That's the faith, is that this isn't the end. This isn't the end of the story, what I'm going through right now. And then this is from Jesus himself. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have fluffy pillows and rainbows. No, that's not what it says. What does it say? In this world you will have trouble. Can I get an amen? Is there an amen? Is there trouble in this world? But take heart, because I have overcome the world. God is in charge. And I know that it may not seem like it. This is the faith part of it. If God has called you to go in a direction, if he's called you to follow him, which I believe he has called everyone in this room, that's why you're sitting here right now. He's calling you to trust him. But if he has called you, it's not going to feel like that's the right thing a lot of times. But really, take heart, because in the end, Jesus has overcome this world. He's overcome death, and the things that we fear, the things that seem overwhelming, are not overwhelming to God. In fact, as a church, we have taken a step of faith in building a new worship center on the lawn. And we've been in this process for several years now, and we thought for sure that this month we would be breaking ground, that you'd see, you know, dirt moved, and I don't know what goes on with construction, but tractors and things that look like we're doing a whole lot of stuff. But the problem is, it hasn't happened yet. But we know that in spite of the challenges that we're facing, God is at work. God is doing what only He can do, and that when we do break ground in His timing, it will ultimately be that glory around the corner that we're looking forward to, that God is the only one who could be doing this. And why do we persevere? Why do we go through these challenges? Why do we face our fears? Because ultimately, it's easier not to, right? Like I said, faith is hard. It's easier not to have faith. It's easier to go by what you see, to go by what you know. Because the third thing that you see from the movie Tangled that we can expect when we step out in faith is to see the light. You watch this clip. Now, there has to be a happily ever after, right? But you know, this isn't the end of the movie, because the whole point wasn't for her to see him. The whole point was for her to see something far more important. She started her journey looking for lanterns, looking because she wanted to know what those lights were, because she just felt like they were meant for her. And you know what they were? The king and the queen that you saw letting that first lantern with the sun on it, the one that she caught and pushed back up, that lantern, the lanterns were to remind, as a reminder that she was missed, that they desperately missed her, that they wanted their daughter back, and they thought of her every year on her birthday. Now, I want to tell you that really the light that we see when we step out in faith, a lot of times we think it might lead in one direction, but we see something bigger and deeper and more important. Rapunzel saw her true identity. More importantly, she saw that she was deeply loved more than she could ever imagine by a father and a mother who were pursuing her every year. Every year they thought of her, and they wanted the whole kingdom to be thinking of her. And that is exactly what happened. Israel might have been stepping out in faith. They might have been following Joshua because they wanted a good land, but God wanted to show them something even more important. And he asked them as they passed through the Jordan to pick up 12 stones and to set them up as a memorial. And on your outline, I have printed what that memorial is about. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Now, fear has this kind of negative connotation, but the way that I think of it is that God wanted them to have this reverential awe for him. They wanted to know that he was powerful, that he was bigger than them, that he could do things that they could never do themselves. And a lot of times those challenges that we wish weren't there are there because they are the way that we will see the light in a way that we never would have. That we would come face to face with God in a way that we never would have. And know, like this story, this was a bookend. He took them out of slavery through the Red Sea, and he's bringing them into the good land through the Jordan River. And a lot of times we wish that it wasn't faith, but I'm going to tell you that a life of faith is every day. It is challenging. It is hard. And it is from the beginning to the end, because our natural inclination isn't to believe what we don't see. We want to make sense of it. But ultimately, we will see things that we never would have seen. We will know things about God and how much he loves us when we step out in faith in a way that we would never know any other way. And like I said, today is the day when we can change and our life can begin. And a lot of times, you know, when we're waiting and we're uncomfortable, for me personally, I'm just going to say, when I'm feeling like, when does my life begin? It's usually because I'm not stepping out in faith. It's usually because I protected myself in safety. And so I want to challenge you, every one of us, even me, I'm talking to myself, remember? Like Joshua, choose today to live by faith. Choose today to live by faith. Because see, the truth is, we can't choose not to face challenges. I mean, we can choose to try and not do that. But as our dearly departed Herschel Green reminds us, some of you will get that, some of you won't. Herschel Green said, you go outside, you risk your life. You drink the water, you risk your life. You breathe the air, you risk your life. I can't choose whether I'm risking my life, but what I can choose is what I'm risking it for. Choose today to live by faith. And that's exactly what Joshua said to Israel when they finally got into the land and were settling down. He said to them, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Throw away the things that you were worshiping before, the things that consumed your life. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You don't have to. You have a choice. But he's saying, choose for yourselves. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Because what I know in pursuing a great career, pursuing a great family, in bottoming out my hope, what I am reminded of by our loving Father who is pursuing every one of us in this room, that choosing to serve the Lord will lead to the life that I've always wanted. Will lead to the fulfillment and the satisfaction and the impact that I long for when I say, when will my life begin? It will lead to the security that I long for in buying a house, which, hello, is going to just fall down one day, right? I mean, it's just a house. It's not security, but the Lord, following him and stepping out in faith, will lead to what I'm looking for. And so choose today to live by faith. I have a quote from a pastor that I really admire on your outline. It says, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but inactivity. Faith is trusting God enough to do what he says. And this is going to look different for every one of us in this room. For some of us, we have been trying to make sense of faith and just make it make sense so that it's not a leap of faith anymore. You know, Jesus, I'm not sure if you're really the only way. And God is saying, trust me. Trust me when I say that the only way that you can get back to the Father, the only way that you can get back is through Jesus. Trust me. Make me the Lord of your life. Maybe that's your step of faith. Maybe for some of us, it's to keep going because we prayed and we thought for sure God called us to this, but it's really difficult and you're really tired and you really wish that it would just make sense all of a sudden. But it's not. And so maybe what your step of faith is to take another step, to keep going in the direction, to be still when God tells you to be still and trust that, you know what? I might be up to my neck in the Jordan, but he is going to come through. I've trusted that he's brought me to this point. And maybe you're in the place where for a long time, God has been speaking to you. You've had this burning in your heart every time you see kids and you feel like, man, I wish someone would just mentor them and help them grow up great and have an awesome life, get to know Jesus. But it seems too big for me. What do I have to offer? And God has just been saying over and over again, do it. Or maybe it's moving in a different direction, changing your job. In fact, I always tell people not adding something because most of us are way too busy. Maybe what God is calling us is to do less. And so that he has room to work in our life because we're way too busy and he really wants to show us something, take us in a direction, but we just don't have time. So maybe it's doing less. And maybe it's a completely different direction, like to start a new job or a new ministry or a new business or whatever. Because ultimately God wants to show you something that you will not see any other way. So when I think, when will my life begin? I look back at that number on the front of my sheet. In fact, go ahead and look back at your number. Now, what if today I chose that I was going to follow God, and no matter what it cost me, no matter where it took me, would I still be wondering 44 years from now, when will my life begin? No. I would be looking back at a life that took me places I never expected, that God accomplished things through me that were way beyond me, that had nothing to do with me. But ultimately, the most important thing is that I knew him more. That I knew who he was, that he was powerful and good, and that I am his beloved daughter. Because at the end of the day, no matter what happens in our life, that's the most important thing. And that's the thing that will give us hope and will make us feel like our life matters, because it absolutely does. And every one of us in this room is made not just to survive, but to thrive. And that begins when we step out in faith. Would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you. As I look around this room and I just see so many lives that you are working in. So many people that even today you're whispering to them. Maybe they just come for the awesome music or because they like the coffee. But God, you're whispering to them, don't miss it. The lights, the lanterns are for you. And you want them to know that you absolutely love them and are pursuing them. God, I pray that you'd give them faith to trust that you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, I pray for the people who are tired that you would give them faith just to trust that glory is around the corner, that this isn't the end, that you have overcome the world. God, I just pray for faith for one more day, just that they would believe that they're going to see how you are going to do a miracle. And God, I pray for the people that feel you knocking on their heart, moving them in a direction that is too big, too scary, too much, that you would give them overwhelming faith, that they would have joy as they look forward to what you can do, only you can do through their lives. And God, I just pray that you would work miracles in this room through these people, through all of us, through our lives, that we would see things that bring us closer to you every day. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to take our offering now. Please, if you're a guest with us, feel no pressure to give. Just fill out your communication card. We'd love to know how we can pray for you or if you have any comments or questions. And just place that in the offering basket as it comes by. The band is going to end with one more song. And this is just a picture of what it could look like to walk out in faith. Would you guys stand with me for a blessing? May God just blow you away this week as you're filled with joy and faith and love. God, I just pray that all of us would have hope this week as we step out in faith and see you in a clear way that we've never seen before, and that we would overflow with light into the world around us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.